each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, and loyal listeners, and surprise, producer Nick filling in as Father comes down.
Father Tony.
And Tony is here too, as you probably guessed. How are you today, Tony?
Pretty good, Nick. How's it going?
Well, like I said, I'm just trying to get through this world and trying to get through everything that's going on because, you know, as I was talking to you earlier, just all the things that have to be done in this life, you
isn't
know, with everything going on in the holiday season too.
And I wonder if Father is trying to get his coffee or he forgot that, well, hey, maybe there's a show that we need to do. Or...
Well, we're starting it off and I've tried to get it. Ah,
well, ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
Yes, we are.
And this is what happens in the life of a parish.
Talk, Tony.
Father, good to see you. Good to see you.
Okay, hi, everybody.
Never been so happy.
What time is it?
Time for you to be down here.
Oh, jeez, okay.
But that's
second.
Okay. This is the stress. This is how it goes. And it happens all the time.
Okay, I'm 2 minutes 2 minutes late, okay?
Yeah. Did you get your coffee?
Sylvia had it ready for me, but okay. I was just... trying to
glad you could make it.
I'm a multitask, you know.
Of course.
I'm glad I made it too.
Nick had it under control.
Okay. Well, let's pray.
Let's do that.
Just get ourselves.
It's always a good way to start.
Sorry, everybody. That's but they can't fire me. That's for sure. You know. Well, I guess they could.
They could.
There are those who can.
Those are those who can.
Anyway, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And I want to repeat the act of consecration to the sorrowful and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Yesterday was actually the feast day of Our Lady of Cabejo, and by God's providence, well, I'll tell you after I say the prayer, we had the celebration, the crowning, and the I say celebration, but it was the crowning and the and the prayers, and to bring to close bring closure to the 40th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady in Cabejo. We'll talk about that certainly today. But let us, or just follow me, pray with me, you know, from your hearts. You don't have the prayer, Tony, you don't have the prayer there either, but I'll pray it in the name of all of you. If you want to consecrate your lives to the sorrowful, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we pray. O Lord Jesus, who on Calvary and in the Holy Eucharist has shown thyself to us as a God of love and mercy, kneeling humbly at thy feet, we adore thee. We beg once more for thy forgiveness, for thy divine pity, and remembering that by thine own act on Calvary, the human race represented by thy beloved disciple John gained a mother in the Virgin of Sorrows, we desire to honor the sufferings and the woes of our mother's heart by devoting ourselves to it in solemn consecration. It is but just, O Mary, that our soul should strive henceforth to venerate thee with special homage under the title of thy sorrowful heart, a title won by sharing in the whole passion of thy divine Son, and thus cooperating in the work of our redemption, a title due to the injustice, and dear, we believe, to Jesus, into thine own heart, wounded by the wound of his, we consecrate therefore, O Mary. We consecrate therefore, O Mary, to thy sorrowful and immaculate heart, ourselves, our families, our country, and the entire world. Have pity on us. See our tribulations and the anguish of our hearts in the midst of the mourning and calamities lay waste the world. Deign, O Mother of God, to obtain mercy for us, being converted and purified by sorrow and made strong in faith, we may henceforth be devoted servants of Jesus Christ and of his church. For those triumphs we pray, O Mary Immaculate, we promise to be faithful clients to thy sorrowful and immaculate heart. His divine power may speedily bring to pass the triumph of right and justice. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have pity on us. Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us and save us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So this is a beautiful prayer. I got to just determine that a title due to the injustice, and dare we believe, No, it sounds a little bit weird to me to look at it a little bit later. But we did this on Sunday, and it was a beautiful experience. I want to thank everybody that came out. You know, being Thanksgiving weekend, you know, when people are traveling and all that, I thought we had a nice turnout. So,
a lot more people than normally.
Than normal, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry I'm running in. It's just, you know, and we will talk about Our Lady of Cabejo. I'm sorry for being late. It's just, here's what happens, you know. So last week was Thanksgiving, and I want to thank, you know, because I was in Rochester, and I came back to two funerals, as happens all the time, and actually I love doing the funerals because you have a captive audience, and we speak to, I just think death puts everything in perspective, as I've said many, many times. But then we had just just a very, very, very busy weekend, which was good. It was, the thing is, and I'm not bragging, or I'm not here to pat myself on the back, but it amazes me how God gives the grace, because it was nonstop. And I don't eat at all during, people bring me food, you know, I thank God. And I'll eat when I can, but sometimes I can't right when they bring it. But sometimes it's not until the end of the day. But I have strength, and even on Sunday, because we had all this, we did the act of consecration, the prayer to Our Lady of Cabejo. We crowned the statue, which will be in the church. In fact, I have to move it actually to alongside the Divine Mercy image until after the feast of the Immaculate Conception. So, and in confessions, I had, I have confessions now Sunday afternoon, because I was looking for, you know, I just know we need more confessions, and we have them during the week, and 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. I mean, usually it's right up to 7 o'clock. We say 6 o'clock to 6:45, but I don't want to turn anybody away, if there's need, and more often, I'm back in the confessional after Mass. So I wanted, more time. You know, where can we provide more time for confession? And I'm one priest, in the parish, so it's. But I thought the only time Saturdays is impossible, because we've got, inevitably, we always have, we're having funerals on Saturdays, and, of course, weddings and baptisms and quinceañeras. And so Saturday is, the church normally is pretty busy. Maybe not so much during the season of Lent. But so where could I find more time for confession? That the only possible time would be Sunday afternoon, but I'm thinking to myself, well, how can I, am I pushing it, because I've got multiple masses, 7 o'clock, 8:30, 10, and 12, in three different languages. English mass at 7, Polish at 8:30, English at 10. Did I miss a mass there? And then Spanish at 12, and then another Spanish at 5:30. So I said the only time, it does become sometimes a bit draining, mostly between the masses, because that's when, people they come with their needs and all that, and or if there's been a crisis, or I think what 2 weeks ago, a family came. The father was basically dying. He hasn't died yet, but they're already making preparations, plans, and so you can't. I'm not going to turn them away. And we're going to deal with that. But then I get to. And so I tell the people after the 12 o'clock mass. So let's say we get done at 1:15. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll be in the confessional till 3 o'clock, and then I'll go back at 4:30, and I'll be in the confessional until 5:30. And then inevitably, I'm always back in the confessional after the Mass, after the 5:30 Mass. this past Sunday, I was in the confessional till 3:45, and then when I have a break, you know, it's just I just go to the chapel because I have to be back at 4:30. But they're beautiful. But these are beautiful confessions, and the word must get out. You know that that there are confessions, and the point I'm trying to make is number one, you know this, and maybe we've talked about this before, but these are the things that are. I sit there and I wonder at what you know when we talk about the reform of the church, the renewal of the church, or We you know, with this whole synod on synodality, the listening, and you know, we've got everything. We've got everything. Everything's been given to us. We've got the sacraments. We've got the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we need to call it what it is. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I was just reading an article this morning too on that, which we'll probably get into later in the week because I thought it reconfirms the things that I know. That I believe, but things that have been handed down to us, and yet we seem to be living in a time when there's this need on the part of many people to want to change what can't be changed, and yet the influence that the powers to be, so to speak, have over the minds of the people, because see the thing, our love is sacrificial. Christian love is sacrificial. And yes, there's something inherent in us that wants us to go away from that idea of sacrifice. Nobody wants sacrifice. I shouldn't say that. Many people, you know, actually, because we find that when we make sacrifice, it's life-giving. It's life-giving. No, I should say nobody wants to suffer.
Right, you know, that's what it is.
Even Jesus, you know, because sacrifice implies a certain suffering. To varying degrees, and but even Jesus, you know, as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he needed the solace or the consolation of his friends, you know, Peter, James, and John, you know, stay with me, you know, uphold me, support me, help me, as he's giving his definitive yes to do the will of the Father, that he would lay down his life. This is moments before, or maybe hours before, he was arrested and taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, interrogated and turned over to the Romans. And he sweat blood in the garden, you know, in anticipation of what was soon to befall him, which he freely entered into. But for what reason? To save us and to sanctify us. But anyway, as I do every time we come on the show, where am I going with this? Where did I get here? How did I get here? I just think that of course.
It always
comes to doors. Open the door. Yeah. You know, if the church wants renewal, if we want reform, if we want to bring people back to the faith, you know, get rid of the gimmicks, get rid of the need to entertain or to appease the people. I mean, you know, either we're not ourselves reflecting deeply on the mystery of life, where we've come from, where we're going. The choices we have to make today for God, rather than try to recreate what's been created, what's been given to us, just go to the basics. What are the basics? But, you know, we've got the Ten Commandments. That's not going to change. And if anybody thinks they're going to change the commandments of God or rewrite those commandments, you know, then they're acting under the influence of the demons, the demonic. We can't recreate God in our image and likeness. We've been created in the image and likeness of God. Do we distort, to pervert the very image of God, the very person of God. That would be certainly demonic, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus Christ came and established the church and laid out the blueprint, gave us the sacraments, you know, faith and family, indispensable. I mean, the whole of the biblical message is a nuptial. It's a marriage, you know, and from this marriage, children are born. We're born through the waters of baptism into the family of God, the mystical body of Christ. We've been commissioned to go to all the nations to baptize, preach repentance. This is a whole, basically, the theme of Advent, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Repentance of sin, to repent of your sins, to convert, return to God, or come to know God. To know God would be to return to God, to love God, who loved you into life, to serve God. In other words, we've got a job to do while we're here. We've got we're in the work of life. We're not going to be here forever, and because we are weak and we are fallen, and we are sinful, and we've been given this beautiful sacrament of, well, certainly this, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the perpetuation, the renewal, the representation of the Messianic hour and the Messianic time that we're living in, so that we would be in a perpetual way, that we're being washed mystically in the blood of the Lamb. But then we've got this most beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, whereby people have fallen, have sinned, can be reconciled with God, and hear the words of absolution. This is psychologically, spiritually, and psychologically necessary. God knows us, and so what I'm saying is, and there's a few other things that I would do. I've talked about before, and I was just reading an article on this as well. You know, ad orientem. You know, reposition. I mean, let's do what we've been doing for up until 60 years ago. Enter into the sacrifice. Bring people, open their hearts and their minds to the eschaton. What is eschatological? You know, the end, you know, we're moving, history has a trajectory toward this full realization of God's kingdom. In the meantime, we're in a broken, wounded, suffering world. And it's either, you know, what we do to ourselves, or what, either we're either the victims of the sufferings, the sins of this world, or we're the perpetrators. And actually, we're both, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're both. And when we sin, we diminish and we create disorder. We add to the disorder. And so, you know, when we talk about reform and renewal of the church, this is the church militant, the church in the battle. This is more and more we have to look to the church triumphant, because we are passing through this great apostasy, this going away from God. Just reading again this morning, too, you know, an article about the in Great Britain. You know, there's more Muslims than there are Christians, and the Christians are increasingly abandoning the faith, you know, but that's happening here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, okay, so the church, through this synod on synodality, and I don't mean to be overly critical, I'm just raising questions. Can I do that, please? You know, raise some questions?
No, you may not.
Yeah. You know, go back to the, open the confessional. You know, open the confessional and experience the miracle. I mean, you know, I have to tell you, Tony, really, and to our listeners there, there are times when I'm really, really choked up in the confessional.
Yeah.
Because listening to people who have been away for a long time, or people who are have been victimized by sin, or have been perpetrators and now want to change their ways, return to God. It's a very moving experience, and So even when I'm giving the prayer of absolution, and it's Christ who's giving the absolution, acting in and through because the priest is in persona Christi. So, but when I'm giving that absolution, or even in speaking, even in giving counsel to the penitent, and because I keep tradition. I do behind the screen. I don't have open face unless somebody requests. If somebody wants to do open face, then I'll do it. No problem with that. But I prefer behind the screen anonymity because it helps me as well in dealing with a penitent because I don't have to read their body language or I don't have to there's a certain freedom in anonymity even if they say this is they identify themselves. Right. It's just there's something about having hearing but not seeing. Because I remember one time, I went face to face. Because when I go to confession, I go behind the screen. I just prefer, it doesn't have to be anonymity. I can identify myself. I'm a priest. I'm a religious, or this is who I am. If I know the person to whom I'm confessing my sins, but I remember. And this is, and I really, really react to this because I find it disrespectful to the sacred nature of our relationship with God, and that we are people in need of salvation, redemption. We've been redeemed, we've been saved, but we are fallen, and so to be again, let's just say. To be bathed in the blood of the Lamb, because that's really a symbol for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but also that's the sacrament of reconciliation. We're being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I remember going, and even the priest, because I wore a crucifix, and he said, "Why do you think you need to wear that?" Well, what are you asking me that for? Why do I think I need to wear a crucifix? I mean. And he's smiling. He wasn't smiling then, but even as I'm confessing my sins, he's got this kind of grin on his face, like I'm gonna make this is what I'm saying. And I felt offended.
Yeah.
I felt like I wasn't being taken seriously. I felt like this was almost a joke that he didn't believe in what he was doing. That it was just a matter of saying, "Hey, buddy, I'll pat you in the back. Do whatever you can." And that's kind of the attitude that seems to be permeating the life of the church throughout the world today, at least as we're reading from this stuff.
And it's interesting because I even think about my journey. I mean, I went to Catholic school, I went to Catholic high school, and then I lived life, where none of this was important anymore. But the one thing I learned from just coming back here to St. Stan's and going to Mass regularly— and then more so realizing how important the sacrament of penance is.
Right, right.
And then once you, for me especially, when I wish I can find the words, and I'm trying now to find the words, where, like you said, that feeling, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
And I realize that this is a priest, but this is also God. So right. I never look, I have become so sensitive to I have my sins. I have my, I'm not perfect. I'm not flying high like they say. But you know what?
I know
exactly. But you know when you've offended God, you feel it. It hurts. Even when they decided, to say, "Hey, we're closing down the church," I was so thankful that I was in the state of grace. I was. God kept me through it, and just the feeling of not being able to come to church, not being able to confess my sins, that was, you're talking about sacrifice, you're talking about pain, that was pain.
Sure.
So, it's like you can't, how do we, and then I think about some of these younger people that, don't have the tradition, like we remember these things. But find it through the Mass, find it through Ad Orientem, find it through the Latin Mass. Why would you say then, you can't do this?
Because exactly, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. It's the young who have been deprived the mysticism of our faith. And the sacraments are mystical. Those are mystical experiences.
And I wish I didn't believe that. And for anyone that doesn't understand that, you might not understand that right now, but as you go on and you start participating in the sacrament, you see how true that is.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not a psychologist, and I don't pretend to be a psychologist. No. I took many courses in psychology. Mm-hmm. We had to when we were in the seminary, and certainly, you know, you deal with people's, because you're dealing with the whole person, you know, the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit.
Exactly.
And so a person who comes to confession, they're suffering at multiple levels of their lives, or if they've hurt somebody. I think it's kind of a no-brainer. We all understand that, I would hope, unless we are really, as Jesus says, when he comes, will he find faith, or rather hearts that are frozen? Mm-hmm. If you get a cold heart, and again, if we're breeding narcissism where we can't see beyond ourselves, and we don't feel remorse, or we don't feel a sorrow for how what we've done to ourselves, what we've done to others. And I'm not even talking about, because, you know, and certainly in this world today, really, the darkness, the forces of the dark. I say open the confessionals. You know,
yeah.
If the church wants to renew the faith, open the confessionals, priest ordained to hear the confessions, make time for confession, not by appointment, not 45 minutes before one mass, once a week. Now, open those confessionals, open the doors of the church. I believe what we're doing here, we're doing right, because I believe it's that we've responded humbly to the call of God, to the call of Our Lady, not knowing how we can do it, thinking we can't do it, and yet we learn, yes, we can do it, because God gives the grace. But two things, and then we'll take a break, and then we want to come back to the whole message of Our Lady of Cabello, because it is related to this. Number one, you know, people who have, like I was reading an article the other day as well, a bishop in Switzerland who banned exorcisms. And he says, there's no need for this. Well, you know, that tells me you're not listening to confessions. You're not really with the people. Mm-hmm. You're not smelling the, as the Pope said, you're not, you don't carry the scent of the sheep. Because if you see no need for exorcism, then obviously you're not dealing in reality, not in the reality of people's lives. You're living in some kind of a la-la land or some kind of utopian whatever, you know, and it just seems to me more and more this is the case. That's why I just question to what extent people appreciate. I'm talking about priests and prelates and all that. I'm being critical here, but because I have to ask myself that every day, you know, how do I deepen my consecration to God? My life has been, I've been called from among the people to cleave to Christ for a purpose, to serve the people of God. As I often say, you know, Our Lady, because even it's amazing how some priests will, they know I'm devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and so they think, you know, well, oh, that's kind of a nice saying, you know, there's a place for everybody, you know, all women and children, you know, they love the Blessed Mother. And I'm not saying that these priests don't love the Blessed Mother, but the fact that you have devotion to her, well, yeah, there's a place for you and there's a place for everybody. You can lead the rosary, you know, if you want, because you're devoted to the Mother of God. But I have to point out that, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary has not been easy on me. And what she does basically, and I try to remind the priests, any priests that I speak to, and I have priests who come to me to confession as well, and I really appreciate that because it's an experience of great grace for the priest and for myself as well. But no, Our Lady says, you know, you lay your life on the altar of sacrifice, unite your life to that of my Son, enter into his sacrifice, and go out and fight for her children. Mm-hmm. Her children. Go, in other words, you go out with my Son. You go out to him, and you fight. You die for my children, her children, because she's the Mother of God, the Mother of us all. And so it's not like, you know, I'm going to give you I almost say sometimes it's like the Blessed Mother doesn't really give me a place at her table. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're not gonna. I want you out there in the battlefield. Right. I want you out there fighting the good fight. That's my relationship with the Mother of God. Even her, asking us to open the doors of the church and all the things that she's asked us to do and we've done, she has not made it easy for us, in no way whatsoever. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, again, it gives me a real sense that she really believes in us in spite of us, right? Because I say us because it's not just me. It's others that have joined in this this endeavor, which is related to the messages of Our Lady in Cabejo, because I do say that she's sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. But to again bring it closer to this confessional, the confessional, there are people who, yeah, have a great sensitivity for God and therefore a great sensitivity for sin and for the sacred, and they live so as not to offend God. And when they do offend God, as you said, they feel a deep remorse, and often that offense of God is, you know, how they've treated somebody, maybe the wife, maybe the child, you know, whatever. It's coworkers or
you just
or
become more sensitive.
Completely.
You know, and I think that's what we're missing today, because people can easily learn that to be greedy or to be insensitive is a thing. You know, you just do until you find that sense of, okay, this is offensive to God, or just the fact that there is somebody greater than you.
Right.
And people don't see that now.
But the other thing, and this is related to the bishop who says, I don't need exorcisms in my diocese. I think, maybe his diocese is in Switzerland is flying high. But no, they're living, it's delusional, in my opinion, because I do have lots of people who come, and especially on Sundays now that the word must get out, people who have been in the occult, who have been steeped in darkness, who have been under the influence of evil. I'm not talking about fanatical people or people who are, you know, suffering some kind of psychotic sickness, but I'm talking about people who have given themselves over to doing evil, dark things, and have find themselves in situations of where they feel bound, or they feel that they're that yes, the darkness is getting so dark that there's got to be a light. There's got to be a light, and they recognize by God's grace, because I do believe it's the Lord that moves them into the confessional, and those confessions are, I mean, this is where I really often I choke up, because I can hear it in their voice. Even to the point that I can hear the tears. I can see without seeing. I can see the tears flowing down their faces, and you can hear it in the voice where they're choked up, and they, it's you know, open the please, dear Holy Father, dear cardinals, dear bishops, dear priests. You know, let's open up the confessional. Open up the confessional, and reemphasize what is central to our worship of Almighty God, who laid down His life, who sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world, to His sacrificial suffering and death, that we be washed in His blood. The emphasis has to be on the holy sacrifice of the Mass, not the gathering of the people, but to get people gather in order to collectively together renew their covenant with the Lord and to offer their lives on the altar of sacrifice in order to have communion with God. Let's get away from, again, I've said it before, moral therapeutic deism, feel-good religion, about the people find, anyway, no, we got to go, because this is going back to what you were saying, the young people are drawn to this, not that. They can have their own community, But they want the mysticism. They want the transcendental. They want to know that there is meaning and purpose to their life. They want reality. In other words, they want to be told that indeed it is a lie when the world says, you better be happy, and if you're not happy, there's something wrong with you. Now, they need the truth. As Jesus says, you know, my dear brother and sister, my dear son and daughter, you know, I bless you, I name you, and I'm telling you, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But have courage. Be at peace. I've conquered the world, but you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. And that in and of itself can be totally liberating when they realize I'm not crazy. Because people deep down are not happy, at least not with the joy that comes in knowing God and knowing that God knows me and that God loves me and that God serves me with me to carry this cross as I make my way through this life. Otherwise, we wouldn't have so many young people despairing to the point of suicide, or we wouldn't have the phenomenon today where you can't get young people into psychiatric hospitals because there's no room. And that's the reality. So we got to wake up and return to the basics of our faith. And with that, we'll take a break and we'll come back. And I think it's just a perfect segue into the message of Our Lady of Cabejo. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Today is Giving Tuesday when you remember your favorite charity or nonprofit. Please remember St. Stan's by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And click on the Donations tab to help St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know what the Christmas spirit is? Some say the Christmas spirit is a feeling of love, joy, and peace that comes this time each year. You know, it's not a bad answer. It's just incomplete. The Christmas spirit is the living presence of the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, actively animating and perfecting the lives of Christians. In fact, the love, joy, and peace that we associate with the Christmas spirit are what St. Paul calls the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Many wish the Christmas spirit could be with us all year round. Well, I've got news for you. It can. Why do you think I'm so jolly? So even long after the Christmas decorations are stored away, our hearts can be filled 365 days with the same love, joy, and peace that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, if we are open to the power of the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas spirit. For Christ is born, glorify him.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNT, Tony, Nick, and Tony.
Yep.
Nick, well, you heard Nick today.
Yep.
He kind of led into the show.
Nick took over. Nick.
I was actually coming down the stairs listening for the intro, the music, and I heard Nick.
We had figured Nick and I were like, well, just go in there. If he doesn't come down, then I'll have to.
Yeah. Anyway,
took control.
Jeez. So yesterday we had the celebration, or let's just say the ending of the 40-year. It's strange to call it a celebration. It was that celebration. This to me, it was more solemn. But Advent, so people were in the season of Advent now. Yesterday was the first, or Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent, and yeah, many people, of course, they see this as a seasonal preparation for Christmas, and it is, it is, but it's really the season is especially a reminder and preparation for the second coming of Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, God condescended. He came to us in the flesh to redeem us. He came in mercy. At the second coming, and this is, we've been listening to this in the scripture readings at the Mass every day for the last several weeks. But at the second coming, it's very clear he will come to judge the living and the dead. All will be judged, all of us. You'll be judged, I'll be judged, all of us. The nations will be judged. Those were the readings this past weekend. The earth will pass away, and the full realization of God's kingdom will be ushered in. It just happened that this first Sunday of Advent coincided with the closing of the Jubilee year, 40 years after the apparitions and messages of Our Lady of Gbeho, which began November 28th in, I'm not sure if it was 1981, I think it was 1982, and lasted until 1989. And the Blessed Mother appeared in a little town of Gbeho in the province of Butere, in the small country of Rwanda in the heart of Africa. And this is probably the most Catholic country in Africa. Very, very small country. I've been there twice. The apparitions and the messages of the Blessed Virgin to the four young students in a Catholic school and to a Muslim farmer who later converted to Catholicism are most definitely apocalyptic in nature. And we could say that this season of Advent, and even as we ended the liturgical year, the themes are apocalyptical, eschatological, the end things, end times. But there couldn't have been more appropriate readings to convey the messages and the events of Rwanda than those read during the Holy Mass on the first Sunday of Advent, this past Sunday. Her message, Our Lady's message, is reflected in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet says he will judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. In Rwanda, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, "If I've come to Gbeho, it said I've come to Rwanda. If I've come to Rwanda, it said I've come to the whole of Africa. And if I've come to Africa, it said I've come for all nations, for all nations." Her message, pure and simple, says this is the message of Advent, repent and pray, especially for those who are lost. And she said, the world must prepare for the second coming of her Son. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans also reflected the message of Our Lady. The letter reads, "For salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand." And even the gospel reading eerily points to the events of Rwanda, where the gospel said, two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one will be left. Now, because the messages of the Blessed Virgin Mary to repent, to pray, were not heeded, people, they were not heeded, as prophetically proclaimed by the Blessed Virgin Mary, she said, if people do not respond, if they do not return to God, the rivers of Africa will flow with the blood of the dead. Those are her words in the apparitions. And this was recorded in video before the genocide, because shortly after the apparitions ended, they ended in 1989, in 1994, a genocide took place, resulted in the brutal massacre of an estimated 800,000 people, could have been as many as a million people. And listen to this. On May 21st, 1994, this is in the midst, because the massacre, it was in 4 months. We're talking 4 months. In a four-month period, 800,000 to a million people were massacred to death with machetes, mostly with machetes. On May 21st, 1994, in the midst of this, because it started in April, and I think it ended in July, April, May, June, July. It started in April, ended in July. On May 21st, 1994, the New York Times carried a headline, and this was a headline in the New York Times, read all over the world. Thousands of Rwanda dead washed down to Lake Victoria. Thousands of Rwanda dead washed down to Lake Victoria. That was a headline. The first sentence of the article reads, as many as 10,000 bodies from Rwanda's massacre have washed down the Kagera River into Lake Victoria in Uganda. Gives me the chills. The point for us, certainly, we understand as Catholics, is that the Blessed Virgin Mary is not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. She's in our midst, fulfilling her prophetic office to prepare us for the coming of her Son. As I said, she's sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. We have a sanctuary here. Which means what? But she just says, open the doors. Open the door to the church. Open the door to the confessional. Let people come and adore her Son. Beautiful things happen. Conversions happen. Healings happen. It's not about numbers. I'm not going to boast about numbers, but it's happening. But anyway, so she says, prepare for the coming of her Son. His coming may be imminent, or it may be a reality for another time, thousands of years into the future, but read the signs of the times. But my friends, a reality we cannot deny. We will, each and every one of us, encounter the Lord sooner or later. The message to repent, to convert, to pray, and to prepare. This is the overall theme of the season of Advent. Advent points to his second coming, his arrival. Every holy sacrifice of the Mass is prayed in eager anticipation of his coming. In the interim, Jesus comes to us mystically in the Holy Eucharist to feed us, to sustain us, to reproduce his life in us. Our Lady in Cabejo, as in so many other places over the past several hundred years, shows us how to avert catastrophe, either collective catastrophe or personal catastrophe. But what happened in Rwanda is a premonition, a preparation. And the whole of history is full of these premonitions, these preparations. If you read the whole of Scripture, you see it. Immaculée Ili Bagiza. She was on, this is before we had the radio, but she's a survivor of the 1994 genocide and the author of the book. It's an international best-selling book called Left to Tell. I don't have time to go into her story, but she came to St. Stanislaus Kostka in 2007. Mm. You remember that?
Yeah.
She came to thank the parish for the gift of the, because we donated, a gift was given to us. It was then given to Rwanda, to Cabejo, an 18-foot statue of the Divine Mercy that links our sanctuary to theirs. That's why I was there twice. But the statue was erected on what had been called for forever the age-old Hill of God. So it was almost as if it was waiting for that statue, the Divine Mercy, overlooking the shrine of Our Lady of Cabejo. Our Lady had said in Cabejo that God alone can bring genuine peace and enduring peace. And Immaculée She closed her book with words of gratitude to Our Lady of Cabejo, thanking Our Lady for the visitation that she made to Cabejo, to Butere, to Rwanda, to Africa, to all the nations. And these are, by the way, Vatican-approved apparitions. And so she closes her book thanking Our Lady of Cabejo. But then she sighs. And I believe this is the last sentence in her book. If only we had listened. If only we had listened. And yes, my friends, in this day and in this time, if only we'd listen. If only we'd listen. You know, I say so often, believe me when I say this, and when I'm in prayer, I'm always asking, you know, the Lord, what do you see when you look into the world? Because I have to know what you see, because what is it that I need to convey to the people that you've entrusted to my care? And certainly, and to Our Lady as well. And there's a great joy in seeing those who are keeping the faith, those who against all odds are keeping the faith, those who are responding to God's call, Our Lady's call, to remain with God, to stay the course. But there's also a deep sadness. That's why Our Lady asks that we pray the Rosary of the Sorrowful, of the Sorrowful Rosary. So you see the tears, and we want to wipe away those tears through our prayers. We cannot, none of us can avoid the sufferings of this world. Neither Jesus nor the Blessed Virgin Mary were spared, but they reign. Again, they're not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. They reign, they're in our midst, and where they are, we too will be, if we keep faith. Fidelity to God and service one to another will bring us peace, a peace the world cannot give. Jesus came. We'll celebrate that in the season of Christmas. And he will come again. And that's the theme of Advent, anticipating the coming of Christ to set us free from the evils, the darkness, the sins, the corruption, the disorder of this world. Again, nobody is condemned to be here forever. Got to think in that way. And yet life is a gift. And because we recognize the gift and we know where we're going, we're in the trenches. We fight the good fight. We weather the storms. We're moving against the current. In the interim, again, he's with us. If we have the humility to receive him, and come what may, we will then savor the victory toward which history longs. Jesus, coming in glory, and the Blessed Virgin Mary alongside him. And the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which brings us to the table of the word, the table of the banquet, to be fed, that we not collapse, that we give witness that he reproduces life in us, is a foretaste of the parousia. And so with that, I pray Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears. is strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.